Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Marco Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome!
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
And every one of you, thank you for being here on the fastest growing family talk show in all of the universe right here. I am your host, Jack Hatfield, and we always say that to first put this world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. And to put the family in order, we must first cultivate, encourage, and succeed in our own personal life. That's right. We're here on our exclusive 4+1 method of accomplishing this fact, starting with positive fathering. Wait till you see the dad of the week. Well, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success to plus being. Disease and the diet, where we are stopping, preventing, and curing degenerative diseases that are affecting families across this planet. Ladies and gentlemen, this is crucial. We have so much for you today. It's not even funny. We're going to talk about how young the girls need to be before they have to start working on their cleavage. That's what we're going to talk about. When is the happiest time of your life? If we have the time of our life. When is that? We're going to talk about that. Which fathers in what country are the best? Which country has the best fathers? And then is there something weird going on in a community where the 12th baby has died. We're going to talk about that one. And woo! A wife's final insult to her husband is hilarious, even though it's a tragic ending. We're going to talk about how there's a disease cluster. What happens if someone were to try to ban automobiles in this country? Well, it's happening somewhere else. Is there a stealth drug causing diabetes around this country? Maybe. We're going to talk about the evidence. And then your 7th worst supermarket ripoffs. Make sure you don't purchase these because you're getting ripped off for the dollar. And then what big name person says testing your children in public schools is kind of a drag? Well, we're gonna talk about all this and more. Hitting on the positive fathering, hitting on the mothering, hitting on the parenting and the revealing your success, and of course, the second week of Adele's Magic Minute. Classes up to place, let me tell you. Now we're gonna have. I want you to listen to. And we'll be right back with all of this topic and more. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fix the Family Fix America. To get things going, got a little bit of slowness. Man, I'm tired of technical difficulties. I'm not kidding. The libation of the evening, trying to keep me rolling. Hanson's. They didn't pay for this commercial, but it's Hanson's soda. I purchased theirs. There's no high fructose corn syrup. They use regular sugar, and it's fantastic. Fantastic. All right, let's let things calm down here. All right, now. Sorry about that. I had to get things rolling. I had all of the stories we're going to talk about ready, and we are crushing. Now let's talk about, first of all, I want to talk about fathers. Which father? Which country makes the best fathers? Now, a lot of people have different definitions of fathers, which I think is weird. But we need to figure that out. We need to figure that out on the definition of fatherhood and what makes a good father. And we talk about here all the time, positive fathering. All right. We're going to talk about a father that didn't know his child was getting sexually abused for almost 3 months. Is that a bad father, not paying attention? No. You know, we got to figure all that out. So, they did a study on fatherhood, and they based this fatherhood, on amount of time being spent with the child. Now, that's not really the basis. Wow, things are really crushing hard on my screen here. Do da do do. Give me 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for this. This is just crazy. Something is haywire. Haywire. Do. I'm still here. Just give me a second. We're having a little bit of issues. Had to get a sip while waiting on something else to pop up. It's tragic. Now, there are very few guarantees in life now, ladies and gentlemen, especially in the parenting, but there is one tremendously large thing that you need to know as a father, and that's your key. Your key to your children's success. Fathers must start making a positive difference right off the bat, and they do make a difference. They have to choose whether it's positive or not. They have to make that decision to do what they need to do. All right, so let me get this up, and this is amazing for you to see who I apologize again for the slowness of the start of this thing. Wow. Amazingly slow. I am going to do a test here real quick if you don't mind. To make sure y'all can hear me. Because I don't even know if I'm being heard at this moment. That's Jeopardy, right? Jeopardy? Yeah, I think that's one of the tunes on Earth that everybody knows. And almost everybody does it whenever someone's, you know, just sitting around saying thing or not saying what they need to do. What? Which is kind of what I'm doing. Yes, it is. We're talking about fathers. All right, so this research, okay, that they looked after is how much time a father or a mother spends with a child. Okay? So they looked at that, and this is the study that the figures were revealed by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. I have not looked into who they are or what else they have done in the past, but it says they're highly respected. Now, again, that in a news article, that doesn't say a whole bunch. So, the report shows in all cases, worldwide parents in full-time employment spend less time giving what the research called primary child care than those who stay at home. And that would make sense, would it not? Yes. Now, what it says is out of the 21 developed countries studied, okay, fathers in America, that's right, American fathers spend more time each day looking after their children than nearly any country in the developed world. But dads, before you go patting yourself on the back and going, I get a beard in and go down out in the garage or something, you better not get too excited because you look lazy next to the nation's mothers. It's because moms spend, on average, 1 hour, 34 minutes each day giving full attention to their children each day. Stay-at-home dads manage a minute a day longer. Now, see, this makes no sense to me. If you're a stay-at-home dad and you can only manage one more minute than a full-time working mother with your child, what are you staying at home for? So anyway, primary child care includes physical care, such as washing, dressing, and changing diapers, educational care, such as helping with homework, playing games and reading, and travel care, such as driving children to school or sports clubs. That's primary child care. So it's physical, educational, and travel. Really? That's it? What about teaching? What about just fun? Okay, so anyway, Australia comes out on top as a total, working mothers and fathers spending 105 and 69 minutes respectively. Okay? Stay-at-home moms and dads spending 236 and 105 minutes. Now, elsewhere in Nordic countries, men spend roughly the same amount of time looking after children whether they're working or not, around 40 minutes. Least amount of time by working fathers is in South Africa, 8 minutes. And South Korea, 12 minutes. Okay? This research has been compiled over 11 years, 1998 to 2009. Why it takes them 2 years to put it out, I have no idea. So grasp this, ladies and gentlemen. It's finding out that better educated parents tend to devote significantly more time to primary child care and provide a richer variety of caring activities to their children than less educated parents. Shocking! Highly educated parents also tend to prioritize child care over leisure and sleeping. What? Shocking! This in turn suggests that better educated parents view child care as an investment in their children's future, says the person who wrote the report. Fathers also prefer spending most of their time with children reading to them, playing with them, helping with homework, while mothers spend most of their time dressing, feeding, and supervising. Okay. Talk about this for a minute in our opening super segment. Better educated parents spend more time with their child than less educated parents. Okay? I don't know. There's some kind of heater in this computer here. Let me see if I can get a fan on in here, ladies and gentlemen. Hang on one sec. Ah, oh, it's a fan. There we go. Maybe that'll help. Oh, yeah. All right. I'll turn the fan on here in the studio. Do, da, do. Now, this comes as a highly educated, highly respected man says that too much testing makes education boring. Now, we have a study here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to tie this together. We're gonna look. These are two separate news items that the world's not getting together, okay? You're not getting it together because they don't want you to hear this at all. That's why you come to Fix the Family, Fix America. All right, so you have American fathers being the best in watching in primary child care with only 1 hour, 33 minutes of full attention to their children a day. Real quick side note here. Let's look at how America has grown and prospered and succeeded as a nation on only 1 hour and 33 minutes of parenting. Could you imagine if that went to 3 hours, how awesome this nation could be? Do you see why Fix the Family, Fix America makes sense? That if we can fix each person to be educated, that's why you listen to this show, to educate yourself, to always seek knowledge, and always make yourself better, that in turn makes you a better parent by making you spend and desire more child care time, which in turn makes your child better for generations to come, which then would make the country better. Imagine if it was 3 hours a day for the last 20 years instead of an hour, for the last 11 years instead of an hour, 34 minutes. Would we be in the same shape we're in now? Would we be worrying about Fix the Family, Fix America? Second of all, educated parents care about their child more than an uneducated parent. Is that saying stupidity can't feel feelings? I think stupidity can feel feelings. Ignorance can feel feelings. But can stupidity and ignorance be persuaded to do something else? Or have in their mind the drivel that comes out of the media that's the way to be? Have in their mind that parenting is really not my problem, because the government teaches my kid from X age to X age during the day. So all I really got to do is spend a little time with him while I pick him up and put her to bed. Could that be the issue? So, if smarter parents, educated parents, devote significantly more time to primary child care and provide a richer variety of caring activities to their children, then why is there a push now that says students should take fewer standardized tests and school performance should be measured in other ways than just exam results? Too much testing makes education boring for kids. I'm not saying this. Guess who said that? Here's something else. Here's more of the quote. Too much testing makes education boring for kids. Too often what we have been doing is using these tests to punish students, or to, in some cases, punish schools. One thing I never wanted to see happen is schools that are teaching the test, because then you're not learning about the world. You're not learning about different cultures. You're not learning about science. You're not learning about math. All you're learning about is how to fill out a little bubble on an exam and little tricks that you need in order to take a test and that's not going to make education interesting. Now, who would say this? Who would say that we need to not really monitor how good the schools are doing by standardized tests? How else are you going to monitor schools if you don't test the children in some fashion? You're just going to send a person over to watch? Tell you what, find out how that teacher's doing by watching his classroom and then following every student home to see if they're doing their homework. And then that school will get an A grade. I don't know. I don't even know what that... This doesn't even make sense. The problem we have with these statements is they were said by the President of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, President Barack Obama said too much testing makes education boring for kids. I don't think testing makes education boring. In fact, I'm pretty sure almost every time I see a student get excited in college or high school is when they go, oh my God, I got a test next this Friday. I've got to study, study, study. They actually have to do some work. Too often we're using these tests to punish students. How are we punishing students by figuring out where they have a flaw in their education and then possibly working on teaching them better to fix that flaw? How are we doing that? Now remember, we have this No Child Left Behind law, and they have now they have expressed concern that too many schools will be unable to meet those proficiency standards that were set. Remember when that came into law and everyone was like, yeah, that's great, education's going to be so much better. The laws don't matter when the people who made the laws look at it and go, ah, that law's too tough. They are proposing replacing those standards with a less prescriptive requirement. The less prescriptive requirement says that by 2020, all students graduating from high school should be ready for college or a career. The No Child Left Behind standard was aimed at getting 100% of students proficient in math, reading, and science by 2014, a goal now seen widely as unrealistic. It's definitely going to be unrealistic when the President of the United States looks at the American people and the people that hang on his every word, and he says too much testing makes education boring. Or when he says stuff like testing punishes children. Can you hear a high school student hearing that going, yes, testing does punish me. I feel like I'm being punished when I take this test. Phooey on this test. Phooey, I say. If you have a standard that you would like every child that goes through school proficient in math, reading, and science. Three things. And you have the President of the United States going, Wait a minute. That's we don't need 100%. We just need them ready. Now, which high school student do you know, whether they made straight A's or straight F's, is not ready for college? All of them are ready. Define ready. I have a question, sir. How do you define ready? Is it that they can drive a car and they're packed? Is that ready? Is that ready for college or a career? That they can get in the car, press on the gas, and pack their clothes? And get out if they're ready? Are you going to ask them? That's what we could do. We can ask them. Every high school student gets asked as they cross the stage to shake the hands and grab that diploma. You get asked, Billy, are you ready for college? Billy has to answer, yes or no. And if they say no, then you go, bet. You grab that diploma back real quick. You go, You said you weren't ready. Go back. Go back to start. Do not pass. Go. Do not collect $200. So, if we have a study for the last 11 years that shows only 1 hour and 33 minutes makes a good child, and we've got the President of the United States saying that testing children for college, that's kind of boring and shouldn't be done. We should just ask them if they're ready. What do you think the family unit will look like in 10 years with this scenario? What do you think the family is going to look like in this scenario in 10 years? I'm pretty sure it's going to look worse. I'm almost positive. Now, those two stories were separate. One being a great, great story. Fatherhood in fathers in America are better than all other countries. Okay? But again, father, before you go patting yourself on the back, an hour and 33 minutes is... I could have said a lot of words there, but I believe was best representative of those words at this time on this family show. One hour, 33 minutes, pumping out quality children. Stunning. Now remember, the worst was South Africa, 8 minutes. 8 minutes. The father spends 8 minutes a day with primary child care. What is that? Is that a, hey, son or daughter and or? What's up? How was school? Wait a minute. Primary child care is this. They did it as washing, dressing, or changing diapers, so they could have gave him a bath. Or it was educational care, such as helping with homework, playing games, or reading. So they could have came in and go, all right, here we go. 8 minutes of patty cake. Na 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 e. Na 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 ooh. Boom. Done. I don't know the words to patty cake, so and travel care, such as driving children to school or sports. Now, what if we found out that only the travel care was being done? So that means all the fathers did was take them to school for that 8 minutes. And then they're done with them. South Korea, 12 minutes. That's 4 more minutes. Now, again, Australia out on top here, okay, at 105 minutes. That's an hour 35 minutes. That's 2 minutes more than America. Can you imagine what would happen if we actually parented longer than an hour and a half? This show could do more stuff if we wouldn't have to talk about this asinine study of how parenting is atrocious. Yes, fathers in America, you won, but it's an hour and a half. And then on the top of that, when you sit there and you're looking at the world from the perspective of us, this audience, the greatest audience in all of radiodom, which I have to thank each and every one of you for being here, and your homework assignment again is go tell someone to listen to the show. You grasp, you look through the Fix the Family, Fix America eyeballs, and you see that American Fathers article, and you read it, and it's fantastic. Until you think about it, and you go an hour and a half. And then you think about that for a second, and then you see the president going, you know, testing's kind of sucking. We're not going to do it anymore. He's worried that it's hurting the schools and making kids punished. Do you see how this is in the same line as when he said, I do not want my daughters punished with a baby? Now he doesn't want his daughters or any children punished with a test? Then if everything that is bad is called punishment, what is there for children to do? Well, there is the you can retain your ignorance and stupidity. Children can do that. And then look what would happen with that retention of stupidity and ignorance without the education and knowledge and testing to find out if there was any flaw in that education. And then that student retaining that same ignorance and stupidity has a child, and they spend not 1 hour and 33 minutes with primary child care. Do you grasp that? Primary child care, an hour and 33 minutes. What is going on the rest of the time? I don't know about y'all, but our daughter wakes up, goes to bed at 8, wakes up at 6:30. She's homeschooled, so the primary time for mom is approximately, let's see, that's 12, it's 14, 10, easy, 600 minutes, easy. On a bad day, I have an hour, hour and a half in the mornings. I have my hour, hour and a half in the mornings before I even leave for work. I'm done for the day. I'll just stay gone. Hour and a half, done. There you go, fathers. You can wake your kid up an hour and a half early before they go to school, and you're done for the day. Done. Booyah. Booyah is what I say to that. This is insane. We have a president telling you that testing the student is punishing a student. And then we have a 11-year study saying better educated parents devote significantly more time to primary child care. This line was very crucial. I want to talk about this. I know my opening salvo here is long right now. This line is crucial. Highly educated parents also tend to prioritize child care over leisure and sleeping, meaning not yelling at your kid going, I need my sleep, so shut up, or I've got to play, so go do something else. They understand that when they had that child, there burst out a responsibility. What? No, not that word. You can't say that on the radio. I'm pretty sure that's been banned by the government. To not say responsibility on the radio. Thank goodness this is not an FCC broadcast. I'm not kidding. Because we would, it would be, oh, sorry. Something's happening. Hello? Testing. Yes, that's right. That when that goo-covered child comes out, that is bearing you a responsibility. I think my phone's ringing. sir, this is, don't worry about who this is, but if you say that word again, we will be at your house. What do you do? What do you do? Think about it, people. More education, better parents. President saying testing, not really necessary. Put it all together. Thank you for listening. Fix the family. Fix America. Be right back. Thank you for being back and tuning in too. This show is about to go through a massive, massive change, and I'm just excited about it. And I apologize for earlier when we had a myriad of problems on the thing that made me talk like a broken record. But Fix the Family, Fix America is going through so many changes, so many growth spurts here. It's just amazing to see. It's also very amazing to see that with the success and growth of Fix the Family, Fix America, that you get absolutely, you start to see more resistance to the success. And right here, going to announce that the absolute next book, the third book of mine, will be called Fix the Family, Fix America. And it will be incredible. And we're going to have a couple guest chapters in there from people. We're going to have lots of input. It's going to put down what an hour and a half is doing apparently to this country. It's going to hit the 4+1, our exclusive 4+1 method, and it's going to be fantastic. So look for that very soon. I'm hoping it will come out by the end of the year. And with it, more classes, more seminars, more talks, and definitely more stuff. But you can see with the success of this broadcast and the success of everything else that's going on, you see resistance. And every time that you feel like you're on top of the world. I mean, I'm sure every one of you felt this. All of a sudden, something happens, you know, and you go, why me? Why now? Why me? Why now? And then you kind of have to look back and try to figure out what happened there. And was it so out of the blue, or was it, you know, just part of life and you just weren't thinking about it at the time because you were doing something else? It's very different to tell someone that they can succeed without telling them that as you succeed, you're going to find out that sometimes you're going to lose some of your friends. Sometimes you're going to not want to live in the place you're living. Sometimes you're not going to want to be around the people that you have been around, because now you're succeeding and you will be looked upon as kind of a pariah. There will be a resistance to your success. And a lot of people can't make it through that resistance. They don't understand, and they misinterpret that resistance as negative, as a reason that they can't succeed. They misinterpret the resistance, and then they say, well, I tried. And they give up. And they're so close to going over the top. They're so close to grasping that golden ring. And yet they miss it. Because they misinterpreted that resistance. And I can tell you that's happening now. When you have thoughts that start manifesting themselves, and you start seeing things come together to be where you want them to be, and you see the resistance getting bigger, because that's key. You must see resistance getting bigger, because as you grow, as you get bigger, obviously, you take up more mass, and more mass runs up against more wind. Take, for instance, if you were you're shooting an arrow through the air. The arrow goes through very easily without any resistance. But if the arrow got successful and started accumulating power, money, things, objects, happiness, the arrow starts getting wider and wider and wider. Look what the wind does to it. It starts adding more and more resistance. And that is absolutely normal. In fact, life is about that resistance and how you react to it. And do you continue pushing against the resistance, or do you quit and say, I try? And in the immortal words of Yoda, in this household, there is no try. There is do or don't do. So at the end of that, you didn't do. You did not succeed. You quit. This is crucial stuff that we're trying to do here on Fix the Family, Fix America. And when you hear that an hour and a half is making this country what it is, or what it has in the last 11 years, I wish I had a study in the 40s and 50s on what the primary child care was. I'm positive it was bigger, longer, without a doubt. I would also love to read this study in more depth to find out if it lessened over the 11 years. The average was an hour and 33. Is it going down? Did it vary in good times and bad? I'd love to see those inners. I couldn't find it anywhere to get more details. They haven't released that. They simply wanted to say, you know, highly educated parent. And then I'm sure the information that came out of there at the end, the article, very short, by the way, the article simply said, America's fathers win, but don't get too excited. You're not that great. You're only a minute more than the other. And then it went on to say, went on to talk about education, and then the article ends because they're like, wow, you can't be saying that. You can't say education makes you better. You can't say that. You got to talk about the bootstrap. The uneducated idiot making it rich, making it big. Those are the stories everyone loves. Hate to tell you, but that uneducated idiot is probably very smart when they make it big. They're smart in some fashion. But no one wants to talk about that. They just want to talk about the kid that didn't go to school. Look at how Hollywood permeates that. You don't have to go to school to be successful. Look at that guy and that guy and that guy. Well, that's 10 guys. You point out all the people that didn't, that are successful in their own right, they're just not famous successful. Those people. That'd be a whole different ballgame, would it not? So anyway, Fix the Family, Fix America is going to get bigger. Disease and the diet's about to take off into a new arena since we lost our old one, and we're going to tour and it's going to be amazing. And the resistance is big. And I love it. I see it and I love it. Now, yeah, I can say today, some days, the resistance even wears on me. But then you get right back up the next morning and you go push heavy stuff. And then after you sweat a little bit, you go, yeah, I got this. I can do this. Ladies and gentlemen, Fix the Family, Fix America loves and thanks each and every one of you for listening. And please do your homework and tell someone else to listen. We really, really need more listeners. We're growing by leaps and bounds, but we want to reach more and more people. And we're doing 2 hours on this show, so if you listen with your child, that's 2 hours of primary child care you can chalk up for the evening. Now, it's not just me here. We're going to have more guests on this show. And it's not just me every week because we have instituted a new segment called Adele's Magic Minute from Adele Omani over there in the UK on Fix the Family, Fix America. She sees and understands what we're trying to do. She's doing the same thing over there. And she talks about resistance. She talks about manifesting your thoughts. She talks about you succeeding. And now, here she is with her Magic Minute.
My name is Adele Omani, and I would like to welcome you to Adele's Magic Minute. On this part of the show, I would like to be able to bring you answers to questions that are being answered about attracting love, wealth, happiness, success into your life. In order to get your attracting going, in order for you to attract everything into your experience, this can only happen when you are in the right emotional state. Now, yes, it is very much to do with what you think, but things do not come into your experience just by thinking about them. That is wrong. What you need is to know who you are. First and foremost, your foundations for attracting have to be based on you being a confident, abundant person. If you do not believe you are abundant, you will not attract abundance to you. If you do not feel that you love yourself, you will not attract love into your life. It is a very, very eloquent and elegant universe that we are in, and it will attract to you everything that you desire through the vibration that you resonate. And by the universal principles, what is like unto itself is drawn, it is very, very clear that if you are resonating out lack or loneliness or desperation, it will come back to you. This is what you will keep on getting. So, first and foremost, you need to start defining who you are. You need to know who you are. Now, this isn't saying, I am a brother, a father, a mother. I work for the post office. I work for a corporation. This is who are you? Who is inside this physical body? What are your desires? What are your passions in this life? What is it you would love to be doing? This is what you need to define, because a lot of people are still not living what they love. They are not loving the life they live, and this will only happen when you are living your passion. So if you are in a job that you're waking up and you really don't want to go into a job where you're finding yourself becoming ill frequently, understand that this is because you have moved into a lower vibration. You are not where you are meant to be. You will always, your energy will always resonate at a very high vibration, because that is who we are. We are energy. In our physical bodies, we disconnect ourselves from that high energy by doing things that we don't love, by allowing ourselves to be conditioned and controlled by others. And then we are never living our life experiences, we are living theirs. So it is so important that you begin to understand and really start to look at yourself and what you love to do, what you would really love to be doing now, what inspires you. And it doesn't matter how far-fetched you think it is, it will happen. Believe me, it will happen. Because as long as you are living in complete confidence with yourself, in total love of who you are, you will always start to resonate from a higher vibration. With that, you will attract the opportunities to you to be able to live your desires and passions. The opportunities come as conscious coincidences. And unless you are confident in yourself, you will not match those coincidences. So you need to start becoming a peaceful warrior and really get that confidence going.
I'll tell you what, that voice, that wisdom coming from the UK, from Adele Omani, her magic minute right here on Fix the Family, Fix America. You cannot beat stuff like that. You cannot sit here and listen to her say those words and go, you know what? She makes sense. You just got to love it. We thank her for being here. We are just tickled that she does the magic minute here on Fix the Family, Fix America. And ladies and gentlemen, you be the peaceful warrior yourself. And let's get started. Our second hour of Fix the Family, Fix America on tap right now.
Welcome to the Fix the Family, Fix the America Radio Show.
Hey, folks, it's time for the show.
Welcome.
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Where we say that it is crucial to put this world in order, and to do that, we must first put the nation in order, and it is crucial to put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order, but it is crucial to put the family in order, you must first cultivate and succeed in your own personal life. Education being key, we learned last hour at what ignorance and stupidity has done more damage to this planet than all wars, bombs, fires, volcanoes, earthquakes combined. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you're here on Fix the Family, Fix America. I am your host, Jack Hatfield, for the next 56 minutes is all we got left in this show. The show goes so fast, even though we doubled it at your request. Doubled in size at your request. In fact, we're thinking about doing another expansion of the show. If not longer at one time, might do two shows. No telling. Anyway, Fix Family, Fix America, growing bigger and stronger every day. And it's due to you, the listeners, going out and doing your homework, and that homework is going and telling anyone and everyone you see, stopping them on the street and saying, you need to be listening to this show. You're getting news here to make you better, make your family better, but make the nation better, and make the world better. We just heard from Adele Omani's Magic Minute. If you missed that, wait to the archive and listen again. That was such an incredible, incredible magic minute. I mean, I'm telling you, that right there was like an hour seminar in 4 minutes or less. Amazing. And as we do as we used to do in school, right when the bell rang, you sit down and you sat down quietly. There might have been some snickers here or there. You know, when Sally smiled at you or something, looked over and you... might have been some of that, but you knew you had to sit down. And then the teacher would come in, or she'd already be in, and she'd say, stand. And you'd stand, and you'd turn to the left, most of the time to the left. And you'd recite.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's right. That doesn't happen anymore. And if a big name guy gets his way, we won't even be testing you anymore. We're just going to be asking you, are you ready for college? Talked about that last hour as well. That's just, that still to me is stunning, a stunning, absolute stunning statement. The goal was 100% readiness in math, reading, and science. Three things. Now he wants just readiness for college. Just readiness. Well, how are you going to measure that readiness if you don't want to do a test? No testing to check this readiness. Just see if your bags are packed. I don't have to make any of this stuff up. That's another problem. It's another problem. Now, speaking of family, and speaking of the economy, your personal economy, remember, everyone's telling you the economy's bad, the economy's bad. The only reason the economy's bad is because a collection of personal economies are bad. And I can guarantee you almost every time you hear someone say their personal economy is bad, they have run up against some bad luck, or they weren't really doing a good job in the first place. Oh, that's so interesting to say. No, it's not. Some people, when they're hired, don't work very well, and they should be fired. Yes, I went around that R word. We said it last hour. We're not going to say it again because we got the phone call during the break. The governmental phone call going, you can't be saying that. So anyway, if your personal economy is bad and you want to fix it, then don't come from a divorced home. Come from the home that spends an hour and a half with you. Another way to make your personal economy better is to think about what you're good at. Think about what solution you could give to humanity and start that business. And the best way to start that business is to get yourself a business card. Get yourself a website and start telling the world about it. And you can do that a lot quicker just by going to sandhill.sohooffice.com, where they do it all. Logos, letterhead, websites, computer repair. Once you become a computer customer at sandhill.sohooffice.com, they sell you everything at wholesale prices. They're not in it for the parts. They're in it to make you a better company and a better entrepreneur. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that refreshing? It's very simple to do, ladies and gentlemen. To get a better economy, a better personal economy, you go to sandhill.sohooffice.com and you start your dream right now. And the first statement that I made is don't come from a divorced home. What are you saying? I'm saying that divorced children from a divorced home in a study earn 30% less than those that grow up in a stable home. 30% less. Now, as we just heard, an hour and a half is all we need for a good daddy and mama. So apparently it's a lot less in a divorced home. And those children earn up to 30% less over their lifetime. Now grasp that for a second. Let's say everybody earns $1 million in their lifetime. I know that it does. That's not true. Let's say everybody owns $500,000 in their lifetime. Everyone should earn $1 million in your lifetime. If you add it all up, it really should. So let's just say that for the ease of math. Because it's, I don't know about y'all, but I know what time it is here. And for some reason, there's ads out there with it saying this show comes on at 3 a.m. So we'll let that roll. Anyway, if you make $1 million over your lifetime, 30% less over your lifetime means that's $300,000 less. You understand now you make only $600,000, whereas your stable child person makes $1 million. That's a lot of money over a lifetime. And that brings you into more problems, more issues. You got more worries, right? This study also warned that psychological problems in childhood have a more severe long-term impact than physical conditions such as speech defects because they persist through life. And the number is exactly right. It's about $300,000 in a lifetime. And the figure is for total family income, including the earnings of the spouse or partner. They took a study of 17,634 children born in the first week of March 1958. Tracked those children through childhood, and their parents and doctors were quizzed about the emergence of any psychological problems. Then they were classified as having such problems if they had seen a psychologist or psychiatrist before their 16th birthday, ranging from a single visit to schizophrenia treatment. Doctors were also asked to show signs of emotional maladjustment, which could include being extremely upset and confused if their parents divorced. James Smith, one of the authors of the study, said childhood psychological problems can have significant negative impacts over the course of an individual's life. The study also found these children that had these problems are likely to be less conscientious and tend to have less stable personal relationships. And by the age of 50, an adult who had these psychological problems as a child would typically earn 30% less than the ones who didn't. By comparison, a minor physical problem, such as just a speech defect, resulted in a 3% pay hit. And then epilepsy only gives an 8.6% decrease in your lifetime earnings. Divorce is worse than epilepsy in lifetime earnings. The researchers also warned that this problem is getting worse. Really? Really? Is it because 113,000 couples get divorced every year? Is it because the media glamorizes? It's all good. Brittany's got her two kids and a nanny. Hmm. I also got to give it up to Brittany. She's doing shows again. She's back on the stage trying to straighten up her life. Everyone makes mistakes. That's an understatement, though, from that study. The problem is getting worse. Now, you know another problem is for the rest of your life to blame something that happened in your childhood. You are so insensitive. You are so insensitive. What I'm saying is that I am positive that no matter how horrible your childhood is, that you can become educated enough to figure out a way over it, around it, or through it. There you go, saying that word again. You just have to keep saying that word. Educated. Ignorance and stupidity has done more damage than all wars, bombs, volcanoes, earthquakes combined. Not this audience, of course. Now, your personal economy, you know, you may notice that when you go to the store, your personal economy is not buying as much food as it used to. Well, guess what? This is funny. This is absolutely hilarious. Guess what the food companies are doing to hold off the fact that your food prices are going up? And then I can hear what someone's going to say right after I tell you what they're doing. I can hear it. Oh, wow. Hang on. We'll get to that story in 2 seconds. Trying to feed her 9 children in Houston. I can't make this stuff. Anyway, she obviously is doing great as a mother. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, she stretches her budget to feed her 9 children. And she carefully monitors what her children eat. Now, she's obviously going beyond the hour and a half, obviously. But she normally cooks 3 boxes of pasta for her entire family. And she noticed something was wrong when the dinner was gone a little earlier than usual. She bought the regular 3 boxes, she said, and it was a little embarrassing. I ran out of food for my family. I bought the same amount I always buy. I just didn't realize that I noticed the pasta company, whole wheat pasta, went from 16 ounces to 13.25. That's an entire 2.75 ounces of pasta removed from the box, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, tonight, my own dinner tonight was an entire box of pasta dumped into a single 4-quart pan. So Lisa went around and started checking other stuff. She found out that many canned vegetables have now went from 16 to 14 or 13. Boxes of baby wipes and other things going from 80 to 70 or 80 to 65. And sugar now being stacked in 4-pound bags instead of the usual 5. Chips, potato chips, now in poofier bags with less chips on the inside. Five years ago, you used to go buy a 16-ounce can of corn. Then they were 15.5. Then they were 14.5, and the size is still dropping. In fact, there's an 11-ounce can of corn in the store right now. Now, the marketing campaigns for this reduction in food are exactly what you think they are. Smaller versions are greener because the packages are smaller. Or they're more portable for the takeout lifestyle. Or they're healthier because the calories went down. When in fact, all it is you're paying a lot more for that muffler. You understand they're doing it in other sneaky ways. There's a bigger scoop on the bottom of the peanut butter jar. You notice that? Did you know that? So a way to protect from the fact that food prices are rising. In fact, everything's rising for some reason, ladies and gentlemen. I urge you to listen to this radio and other radio shows to figure that out. But it's in order to shield you from these prices increases. And go ahead. Let's hear it from the peanut gallery. Ask to stop making you such fat bastards. It's good that they're packaging it less, so you don't eat as much. You know when you're happiest? If you're a carefree youth is a distant memory, and you're entering middle age with a sense of gloom, cheer up. The happiest days are now on the horizon. The demands and work of family steadily erode our youthful sense of well-being as we reach middle age. But research suggests it returns in our later years. So you have fun at the beginning and the end. The middle kind of sucks. In fact, it's after 70 we're likely to be at our happiest as long as we enjoy good health, have sufficient income, and are not lonely. Three keys to that. But there's a recent study that says, that we're finding the aged that don't have the demands placed upon them by all of that other stuff, they are very happy. What emerges is that people in their teens and 20s tend to be averagely happy. But this declines steadily until early middle age. But then from the mid-40s, People tend to become more cheerful as they reach the maximum in their late 70s or 80s. Since the average lifetime has now reached 85, that is pretty cool. So this takes away the crotchety old man syndrome or the old hag woman syndrome and puts it in a slight perspective there, youth and people. What you see is simply a wizened, seasoned citizen having a great time. We think the people who are old in their 60s and 70s now are different from those 30 years ago. They have more opportunities and their health tends to be better. However, the good health stable income and relationships are very important. In the end, it's your friends and family that count the most. And also, while the book says maturity causes our physical stamina to decrease, along with the ability to, in fields such as mathematics research, suggests we gain proficiency in other areas such as language and decision-making. So the brain reorganizes itself to meet the new challenges. The new areas of connectivity are created between cells, which can more than compensate for the loss in brain volume that goes with aging. You can reverse that, by the way, with good nutrition. And then there's emotional selectivity theory that suggests when we get older, we're determined to make the most of the time we have left, maximizing the proportion spent on what we enjoy and eliminating the things we don't. Don't you wish that we could have that mentality from birth? This is what we try to tell you every day here on Fix the Family, Fix America, is to have that mentality. And the fact that you have to wait till you're old to figure out that you may die tomorrow, when I can spend the 2 hours of this show every week saying, here's a guy who died early, here's a girl who died early. I touched on this. You're not hearing a lot of this in the media, ladies and gentlemen. Sad, very sad. Before I touch on it, no, I'm going to touch on it now. We talked about fathers paying attention for an hour and a half. Now this father of an 11-year-old girl discovered the abuse his daughter was taking after being sent sexually explicit pictures of his daughter on his cell phone. This isn't even my dad of the week. The father only discovered this sexual abuse of his 11-year-old daughter after being sent sexually explicit pictures of his daughter on his cell phone. In other words, for 3 months, this father did not notice or see any problems with his daughter being gang raped almost daily by up to 19 men and boys for 3 months. There's not a lot to throw out after that. Okay. The victim father said he had been worried about his daughter for months. Get this. As she had been climbing out of her bedroom window at night, coming home as late as 12 p.m. I guess this was after his hour and a half. So he couldn't say, get back in the window. Or, no. His hour and a half was gone. He's looking at his clock and going, well, she's climbing out in the wind again, but my hour and a half's over with, so on that. The girl told her parents she'd been visiting friends. Now, the girl was raped repeatedly between September 15th and December 3rd by a gang of up to 19 boys aged between 14 and 27. Four of the defendants are charged with continuous sexual abuse. Remember, this girl is 11. The rest are all charged with a single count of aggravated sexual assault of a child under 14. And all face a possible sentence of 25 years to life. This should be life. 18 have pleaded not guilty, while the 19th has yet to plead. Not guilty. The victim's parents are plagued with health problems that have forced her father to give up his former job as a carpenter. He is a diabetic receiving disability benefits of $700 a month. His wife was diagnosed with an unknown mass in her brain that causes her frequent headaches and fainting spells. And she has continued to work nights as a cashier at an illicit gambling parlor. The 11-year-old's daughter's father first became aware of what was going on in late November when she returned home one evening at 3 a.m. shaking and crying. Since it was past midnight, his hour and a half started over. So I guess he went to her and went, so what's up? But he said it was only after he was sent sexually explicit images on his phone, which the girl had borrowed, that she admitted to her mother she had been raped. Now, the house they live in is now empty, even though their water and electricity had been cut off in recent months. But the family has now been advised for their own safety to leave town. For their own safety to leave town. The town where 19 men has been raping his daughter. Now I'm going to let you mull what I just said over. And then I'm going to go over to the elephant in the room and kick it squaw. Fix the family. Fix America. We'll be right back. elephant. It squealed kind of. It was kind of piggish. It was after I kicked its squaw. If you don't know what squaw means, you've never watched South Park. All right, this town that all of this happened was in Cleveland, Texas. Now, first of all, I thought the people in Texas were smart enough to not name any towns Cleveland. About 18. There's about 8,000 people in this town of Cleveland, Texas. It's just weird saying that. The 11-year-old's father was a 57-year-old Mexican immigrant. The 19 rapists, men and boys, one of them being a father of five, one of them being a corrections officer. The majority of them were high school basketball players. The harrowing details of this case is something you're not hearing. The tight-knit group of these 19 rapists includes aspiring rappers, star basketball players, convicted drug dealers. Several already have serious criminal records, while others have children of their own already, including one 19-year-old nicknamed Mookie, who has been ordered to pay child support for his five children within the past year. I said 19-year-old. Xavier, 17, and his brother Kelvin, 21, are accused of being involved in the rape. Xavier just became a father with 15-year-old Markea Mallett, while Kevin has outstanding robbery and underage sex charges against him already. Xavier, the 17-year-old nicknamed Young Money, okay? And remember, the person he just became a daddy with, Miss Mallett, says she has felt overwhelmed by the thought of her baby daddy going to prison. She says, quote, "It's all a mystery. He tells people he went for a ride but didn't participate." Two months prior to the alleged rape, now, however, the shining star in this, Xavier posted on his Facebook page how he wanted to change his life. He wrote, quote, "I'm 17 years old. It's time that I start acting like it. First thing first, I need a J-O-B. I'm tired of these streets. It ain't none out there for me but trouble." His brother Kelvin, let's go back into that, has been charged with sexual assault of a girl under 17 and accused of robbing his sister's car at gunpoint last June. Robbing his sister's car at gunpoint last June. The second set of siblings in this gang raping are 19-year-old cousins Rayford Tyrone Ellis Jr. and Timothy DeRay Ellis. They are the two of the four defendants charged with continuous sexual assault of the girl on more than one occasion. Now, Rayford Ellis, a.k.a. Mookie, spelled differently, ladies and gentlemen, I told you about Mookie, the 19-year-old, all right? This one's Mookie with a I-E. The other one was an E-Y. That's so they can, you know, holler at each other in groups and they'll know who they are. Now, his cousin Timothy has absolutely no prior criminal record. Now, another guy, an 18-year-old, Jared Lynn Cruz, nickname Flashy Boy, spelled F-L-A-S-H-E-I, excuse me, no E, just ignore that E that I just said. Flash, I-I-B-O-I-I. Okay, 2 months after the police investigation began, but before any arrests were made on his face, on Flashy Boy's Facebook page, he wrote, and I quote, "The laws think they got us locked, but that don't stop my people." Four hours after that post, he was accused of participating in a home invasion where a man was shot in the arm. The next day, he was accused with friends of using a gun and a tire tool to rob a grocery store. But if you go back to October 24th, remember, that post in that robbery store was January 21st. On October 24th, he posted on his Facebook he was trying to turn his life around. Quote, "Lord, watch over me in spiritual warfare, because the devil want me bad, but I got to keep you near. See he all off in my ear, telling me things I want to hear, but the devil can't have me, because you the one who brought me here." So he's an aspiring rapper on October 24th. The oldest defendant, 27-year-old Cedric DeRay Scott. Has drug dealing and possession charges that date all the way back to 2003. Now, some of those accused have no prior criminal records. Isaiah Ross, 21 years old, has worked as a correctional officer and is also a school board member's son. Also, 26-year-old Marcus Portia, a former Tri-County mental health employee in Conroe, and Jamarcus Napper, 18, has had no criminal history before the assault charge. Two more high school basketball starters, 18-year-old Jared McPherson and younger player whose name been withheld, also had clean records. Police became aware of the alleged rape after the girl told a school district police chief about the incident on December 3rd. Shockingly, one school employee spoke with several students who had seen the cell phone videos or heard of the incident. According to documents, one of the suspects called her, no one knows who, could have been Mookie or it could have been Mookie, and asked her if she wanted to ride around. Three of the suspects picked her up and took her to a residence where a fourth suspect lived. The fourth suspect told her to disrobe, adding that she will be beaten up if she did not comply. I'm sure that's exactly what he said. You will be beaten up if you do not comply. The girl was then forced sexual acts in the bedroom and bathroom of the house. When she was in the bathroom, she heard the suspect calling and inviting other people to come over. When she got out of the bathroom, there were four more men there. The party was disturbed, however, when the aunt of one of the suspects returned home. And the victim and the men then left the residence in haste through the rear window of the house. That's another thing they said. We must leave in haste because my aunt has arrived. Where? Why did they write it like this in the police affidavit report? Left in haste. It was then the group moved to an abandoned trailer where sexual acts continued. And those acts were recorded by pictures and video on cellular telephones. The sixth grade 11-year-old victim has withdrawn from the local school. As I said, the elephant in the room, I just kicked Squall, has brought racial tensions in this 8,000-strong community to a high as the suspects are all black and the girl is Mexican. As police questioned other high school students, they are finding out that the high school males and females are concerned why only black men have been arrested. And they said they blame the girl for the way she dressed. Father now says her mind is a child's mind. She will never recover from this. Cleveland, Texas. There are 42, this is part of our plus one. I want to get into a little bit of disease in the diet. First of all, I wish that 11-year-old and her family all the best. They found 42 disease clusters in only 13 U.S. states, showing incidence of numerous types of cancer, birth defects, and other chronic illnesses. This report has so named. The study, drawn from research by federal, state, and local officials and peer-reviewed academic studies, urges help to confirm these clusters. They looked at clusters that had occurred since 1976 when Congress passed the Toxic Substance Control Act. CDC defines a cluster investigation as a review of an unusual number, real or perceived, of health events, such as reports of cancer grouped together in a time and location. Those clusters have been found in Texas, California, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Delaware, Louisiana, Montana, Tennessee, Missouri, and Arkansas. Only one of the 42 clusters showed a specific source for chemical contamination, asbestos. In other clusters, they saw signs that documented exposure to toxic chemicals hurt people. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, they're still letting you have and letting those toxic chemicals be used. Now, ladies, it's been said, there's been several jokes about women drivers, correct? I think it was two. I've read both of them. But there's a new study. Do you remember several weeks ago on this show, Fix the Family, Fix America? Yes, you do, because you're the best audience and you're learning every time you listen to this show, that the generation now where they can go and look up something. In fact, one of my stories up to talk about is this entire school went to laptops where they do use nothing but laptops, no books, no nothing. And the kids aren't smarter in their standardized tests. But we're not going to worry about this test anymore, the president said. We're just going to ask people if they're cool. Anyway, we talked about how this could potentially be the dumbest generation because the technology allows them to find the answer, but they don't learn the answer. They don't learn the reading, the writing, the arithmetic. Right? Well, now they're finding out that these GPS devices are making people not look at the road and figure out where they are. That's right. You just simply follow the directions to get where you're going, and then you just go on back home. And you don't even know how you got there. You just know you follow the blue line and turn left at the next highway. But the problem is women are more likely than men to obey that satellite navigation system, even when it gives the wrong direction. So it's finding out the GPS devices are falling out of love. Drivers say on average they are sent nearly 6 miles astray by inaccurate navigation devices. And identified in the same poll, it is a major cause of in-car bickering. 8 of 10 drivers say they have defied directions provided by the GPS devices. Or as they say in Britain, sat-navs. I like to bring the British stuff into it. In fact, a lot of this commentary comes from Britain. Do you know where that article on Cleveland, Texas appeared? A British newspaper. Did any of you hear about that from the mainstream media? No. Anyway, 2/3 drivers keep the sat-nav just in case. But drivers are now learning that, as cab drivers have learned, when you know the roads and you know it like the back of your hand, it's a lot better than a sat-nav. But this study said men are more rebellious than women when it comes to ignoring a sat-nav instruction. So 83% of men said they regularly defy it, against 74% of women. But half of the motorists said they will argue with a fellow passenger over what the sat-nav lady said. She said turn left. Nope, she did. That's hilarious. That is funny. Now, hang on. I just accidentally closed my Father of the Week. Father of the Week, his name is Jacob Andrew Milton. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob Andrew Milton. And I've lost him. Where'd he go? Well, goodness. He did something. Hang on. I do not know the Father real quick. While we're talking about it. There's no way to search this? I really need to search this. Really do. Anyway, 72-year-old. Here's a wife that got her last words in. 72-year-old husband was charged with murder of killing his wife. Her last words, and I understand this is tragic, and I'm not trying to make light of the situation. Her last words were, "You can't even shoot." And he was charged with hitting his wife with the second shot from the top of the stairs. He's 72, she's 69. He called the cops and said, "The Glock is on the floor. I shot my wife." He was going to kill himself and didn't do it. But it is the wife's parting shot Hang on, I'm almost getting to Jacob Mills. The wife's parting shot was, "You can't even shoot." And she obviously was wrong. Where is this Father of the Week? I am running out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, real quick, I really thank you for listening to Fix America. I apologize. For the technology issues that we had earlier in the show. And I apologize also for not going into the 7 foods that are a massive waste of money. But what I want you to understand is that we are here every week to open your eyes to things going on around you and affecting your family, because we must put the world, family, nation, and yourself right in order. That was totally out of order. World, nation, family, and yourself in order. And get this straight, ladies and gentlemen. We found out today that lower education means bad parenting. And that the President of the United States wants to stop testing the educational system. We also found out there was a 3-month raping activity going on in Cleveland, Texas. We found out a lot of stuff. The dad of the week, Jacob Andrew Milton, unfortunately I can't pull it up, but I do know he burned his girlfriend's child. Not just burned, he burned her up in a 50-gallon drum. Thank you for listening to Fix the Family, Fix America. We're here every week. Go tell everyone to listen. Now do your work. Go home. Kiss your significant other. Have fun with your children. Spend your hour and a half at least. And kiss tonight. And have a nice evening. Thank you very much.